is more than gold. If you know what it takes to sing, you will appreciate people better when they stand there to sing. And I was in final year. We're going to do final year brethren, what they call it, final year brethren, whatever gathering. So we're supposed to send them off, okay? And we started, we're practicing in the corner of our room, everything. And then on the day, they say I should lead. Imagine that they said I should lead. You were wondering. And then I got to the stage and I froze. I sang the first line and the other lines. You thank God for people that were backing up. So when people sing and they sing so confidently, you should appreciate it. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you for yet another time in your presence. Thank you for your word that comes to us. It brings us succor. It brings us comfort. And it brings us insight. Thank you, Lord, because this will not be different. Thank you for your ever-abiding presence. We magnify you and we glorify you. Let your name be adored in our midst in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. So if we were not in Bible school, and unfortunately we do not record Bible school, okay? Because Bible school is for, it's not me that said it too, it's for the serious ones. It's set one's words I'm using. You know, this morning set one said, Pastor Emma is the one is Galatians chapter 1. He's the one that uses this one. So me too, I'm pushing this one back to him. he told us that Thursday service is for the serious ones. Bible school is also for the serious ones. Hallelujah. But actually, the idea is that you need to, every part of service is important, and everything about learning from God is absolutely critical. Amen. And so, Galatians chapter 3 that we read this morning, the last verse, Galatians 3, verse 29. It says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Amen. It says, if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. And we were able to establish that Galatians 3 was talking about our salvation, how it's embedded in faith. Actually, I did not know that we would read Galatians 3 this morning. Okay, because the scriptures we read for Bible study is designed, and so they pick the next verse, the next chapter every day. So it's designed as a timetable for it, and it will not change. We will use that same timetable next year if you have the leading that we should continue with sharing how to read the Bible in 1 year. But I was going to speak on persistence this morning, persistence. And I looked at it and I said, this persistence thing is a dangerous thing to say. Amen. It's very dangerous. So, because if someone is persistent on the wrong things, if he comes and listens to being persistent, then he'll be happy. And then he will run away and be persistent on the wrong things, saying that, maybe I heard it in church. And that's why we say, and it is very important, that when you hold the microphone and you address people, especially on the basis of the scripture, it is a matter of life and death. And so you have to be very careful, the things that you say. Hallelujah. And also, you have to be very careful how you hear the things that are being said. Amen. Very important. I think we have demonstrated it before, that if I tell blessing three sentences now, I tell blessing and I tell her this and this, and I tell blessings to tell Mrs. Farimadi, by the time if blessing manages to hear me very well, she will tell Mrs. Farimadi the three sentences the same way I told her. Okay, because she's the first recipient and she's able to remember. By the time Mrs. Farimadi tells Mrs. Uzoli, she may just tell her 2.5 sentences, okay? And then Mrs. Uzoli carries it and tells Temilade, and she just told Temilade one sentence because She's trying to take care of Elora. I say, what's this woman disturbing me about? Let me just tell this girl. She just tells her one sentence. Now, by the time Temilale hears that one sentence, she will rephrase it and tell Temilolua another thing entirely. So by the time we come from Blessing to Mrs. Parimade, Mrs. Wally, to Temilade, to Temilolua, what I've said from Temilolua is totally different. And that's one number one thing about reported speech and third party and rumors. Okay? That's why they say always go and get the source. Amen. And that's why I do not always like putting scripture in my head. I always tell you to help me pray so that I can read it as it is. Amen. But it's also important that the way we hear things and then the way we relate them are very important to conveying the original intention of the message. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Romans 15 verse 4. It says, is that how it was written? See what blessing is written. What do you say? So, okay, so this, for whatever things were written before, is that what you said? So you see why I say that it's always good that we, thank you, I mean, it's absolutely fine. So sometimes when we are studying, they tell us, let us summarize, okay? But when it comes to things of the scripture, we are particular about the exact words that were used. And it says that, so if I wanted to say it, I probably wouldn't have said it in a different way that Blessing said it, okay? But for the sake of consistency, okay, and then that nothing is diluted, we always read. Hallelujah. So it says, for whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. They were written for our learning. Hallelujah. So when I was playing around with this persistent matter, and I said, look, somebody can be very persistent in the wrong things. But then there's the persistence when it comes to the scripture, there has to be a difference. Okay? So I was going through and I was just asking, and then God, help me out. This is what is on my spirit, and how do I deliver the message? And then three stories came to my mind in the scriptures. The story of the woman of the issue of blood. Okay? And then the story of the woman that said, healing is for, well, Christ replied and said, healing is for the children. And then even if the crumbs, that woman, and then the story of the woman, thank you. This blessing has stolen my notes. Please, can you just come and stand with me and let's be preaching. The story of blind Bartimaeus, okay? And then the story of the woman that was persistent before the judge. Amen. And all these four stories, okay, are very important and very critical. But they were written so that we will learn from them. And one that resonates with what I want to pick out this morning, okay, is one in Luke chapter 8. I hope it's Luke chapter 8 too. Sorry, Luke chapter 18. You know that, just keep your hand in Luke chapter 18 and we're going to start from verse 1. You know that it's possible for us to think that we are right and we argue on the wrong basis. Okay? We think that we are right and we argue on the wrong basis. So, and it's also important that we always find out what is right and then what is not. Amen. So Luke chapter 18 verse 1, it says, then he spake a parable to them, that men ought to pray and not lose heart. Hallelujah. And then he said, so the essence of whatever story he told, whatever parable he was telling them, was to bring to them the fact that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Hallelujah. And that's the essence of this persistence that I'm speaking about. Amen. Because things will happen. Things will happen. And it happens to everybody. Okay? It happens to everybody. Even this morning, I was just telling my wife that I just don't understand why all these things are just like this. I was just telling her. And she didn't know what I was saying. But I knew what I was saying. Because I'm just like, why on earth will these things not just go away? You know, just wake up and everything just disappears. I just living in a world of luxury. Everything is just fine. So why on earth are these things always just like this? And then it occurred to me that you have to remain persistent. Amen. And he's saying here that before all this story, he says that the parable men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Amen. If we will go like Pastor Divine this morning, the first lesson, number one, should be our six from six chapters of Galatians. Abby? So number one from this one is that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now, the critical thing there is not the pray. Eh? The critical thing there is not the pray. The critical thing there is the lose heart. Not to lose heart. Hallelujah. Because you pray. Huh? And if things don't happen, you will just decide that you're not praying again. So I met one young man yesterday. I was discussing, we were in the market, and I was discussing with a lady. And the woman that was, we were waiting for them to bring the goods we bought, okay? And the woman that was supposed to be selling wares to us was listening into our conversation and said, "Please, I'm sorry to burst into your conversation, but I think this thing you are saying, let me give you my own side of the story." And then there was a young man there that was seated, and because he had a relationship with the woman, he also took the opportunity to chip in one or two things. And he said, the guy's story was funny. I wanted to tell you that it serves you right, but I could not. So you people now think that Galatians 3:1 is Pastor NY, truly, truly. So he was saying that we're talking about children and admission into the university. Some receive it on a platter of gold. You know what a platter of gold is? They don't just do anything. They just, except that they have gone, they have done their exam, they have passed, and they just sit down at home and somebody says, "Ah, you have admission." And then some have done the same thing. They have passed, okay? But because of the volume of people that want to go for that particular course, they don't get admitted. And then some will say, "Okay, because I'm not admitted for this course, let me go for this course." Some, it will be that their parents say, "You have to be a doctor." Thank God for my parents. They did not influence whatever we all chose to be, okay? So this guy was saying that, this thing you guys are saying, you know, that he was delayed going into the university for 4 years. That he wrote WAEC, he wrote NAPEP, he wrote everything, but his delay was in his mathematics. And I was wondering. Then he now said another thing. He now said that the funny thing about the whole thing was that he was the one that would teach everybody in the exam. Everybody that wants to write the exam, he will teach them mathematics. And then when he goes to write, he will fail. Okay? And he was telling a whole lot of things. And then, of course, he was saying that sometimes he'll be outside the exam room and be writing for people, and then those ones to pass, he'll not pass. That's why I laugh at that. That's why you're not passing. He'll be writing exam for people. So when he was saying that, I was just like, that's why you're not passing. There's no story about it. Then he said all of a sudden he just looked at it that he was wasting time. Then he was learning Arabic and all that and all that. So today he's a finance consultant with one of these microfinance, whatever. And he says he's doing fine. Says that he now is doing what he loves to do, blah, blah, blah. So in essence of what he was trying to tell us was that he's doing what he wants. Nobody said, but he managed to explain to me that God does not abhor iniquity. If you are not doing something right, you cannot be teaching people an exam. Then those people pass, and then you will not pass. Now it has to be something. Amen. But that's what was important. So he said, you ought not to lose heart. So he said the only reason why he kept on moving was that he knew that he had it in him, and then he just said, he now said, once he was going this direction, he looked at it that maybe this is not I'm supposed to go. Let me go this direction. But he kept on doing those exams until he finally got it. Okay, he did not lose that. All right. Now, for us, we need to understand that when we pray, I think I've read several times the story of Daniel. Okay? The Bible tells us that Daniel understood by the books. Right? And then he started praying. And then it took a while for his answer to come. But then he did not think that God was not on the throne. That's what this loser is talking about. He did not think that the promises that God has given to him, they are not the right promises. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says that Apostle Paul writes, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." So everything in him is yes and amen. Hallelujah. Habakkuk 2 is the one that gives us an understanding that though it tarry, wait for it, it will not tarry. Hallelujah. And we have said it several times, okay? And I hope we understand it, that though it tarry, means that though there is a delay, wait for it, because it will not delay, okay? Meaning that there's an appointed time, okay? So you have to just be able to be like Daniel, understanding times and season, okay? And then add the quality of the man of Issachar to it, know what Israel ought to do, and then things will happen just as it is. Amen. And knowing the will of God is definitely the way to having answers to our prayers unhindered. Hallelujah. But you do not lose heart. Now, so those four instances we mentioned, the one of blind Bartimaeus, the one of the woman with issue of blood, the one of the Samaritan woman, and then the one of this woman that we want to talk about in Luke chapter 18, the one of the widow before the judge, they are stories that show us that people did not give up. For instance, in the case of blind Bartimaeus, people around him already told him to keep quiet. That, I mean, guy, he's not going to hear your voice. Just keep quiet and leave the master alone. And but then the Bible says he kept shouting the more. And then when the master eventually said, call him, it was the same people that said he won't hear you, that the master sent to him and said, call him. Instead of them to say, okay, you are calling him, let us help you get his attention. At least, it's just like, if I want to reach Uche, for example, and I tell, and I can't shout, assuming he's not hearing me, and all of you are here, I say, Pastor, I don't shout, he won't hear you. What should have happened? Somebody should have just been like, help call Uche's attention. Or if you think that the room is soundproof, that everybody in one line does not hear, so Rodrigo will tell Toyi, and Toyi will tell Happiness. And then if Happiness decides that, what does he want to tell my husband? He will just block it. But I know she won't do that. Okay? Then Happiness will now tell, that's what's supposed to happen. But then they see blind Bartimaeus shouting, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. And then everybody says, keep quiet. He's not going to hear you. And then, by divine intervention, he hears and he says, call him. And then everybody was glad to now call him. So the first, and I'm sure Jesus did not say, call him. He will have said, call him. Right? And then Pastor Divine hears, he tells Grandpa, and then everything, and everybody says, oh yeah, come. He's calling you. That's the way things ought to be. But when he was crying for help, nobody was ready to help him. But then his persistence, okay, because he understood that his help was near, or his help was passing by. You know, when we were in school, we used to make fun of opportunities around us. Okay, we would say that opportunities, they come in, I think they say they come in four stages. We used to say they come in four stages. The first time opportunity comes, it stands before you, and it's shaking you, and it's shaking you, and then you are playing with opportunity, you don't know, and then opportunity leaves because you eventually did not do the tap. It goes. The next time opportunity is coming, it's going to come, and then it's going to pass before divine and do like this, and then it will go. You can't hold him back. And then the next time opportunity is going to come and say, guy, high five. And then it's going. And then the next time he's going to run across you like Usain Bolt. And then that's when you remember, and then you're chasing him. About how many people can chase Usain Bolt? Because he's running. So if you don't take an opportunity when he's close by, then you miss it. Okay? So blind Bartimaeus knew that this is opportunity going away. And he kept shouting. Hallelujah. That's persistence. Because that's what he needs. He needs something from the master. And he needed to get the master's attention to get what he needs from the master. So if you stay in the place of persistence, you have to recognize the fact that in him, everything is yes and amen. Hallelujah. I think in John chapter 1, thank you for this. John chapter 1. Okay, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Hallelujah. So if you see him, that without him nothing was made that was made passing by, you know that in him, you have redemption. In him you will get your answer. Then you keep, you be persistent. You won't let it go. You just say, it's not my time. If it's my time, it will have stopped when it was passing me. Things don't happen like that in the spiritual realm. Amen. It has to be, you know, when the psalmist says that as the deer pants after the waters, so my soul longs after you. You have to have a yearning. Amen. You have to have a yearning. He says the veil is open. It's for you to step in. It's not for the one behind the veil to come out. Hallelujah. Amen. The reason why the veil was split into two and open is for us to have free access. Amen. It's not because the person behind the veil is limited in moving. It's for you to have free access and go before the throne of mercy and place a demand on the work of redemption by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. You have to place a demand. If you don't place a demand, look, the prodigal sons that we talk about these days, the one that we call the prodigal son and his brother, okay? The one that is his brother that said, I'm at home, was just complaining bitterly. But the brother said, everything I have is yours. The thing is that he never laid a claim or placed a demand on the things that were his. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, as young as I am today, if I call my mother, I say, I need money. My mother would ask me, I say, how much? I say, just give me anything that you can give me. She will go. In those days when we used to go to the market, I brought it over. In those days, those people at Agbin, you know that they have Toby. That one that is very long, that they put their money. That one is even more than they put zip. This one is like a tube. So by the time they drop the money, it's down there. And then they tie their wrapper. So if you want to collect money from them, they will put their hand inside the tube. My mother will go to any extent. She will bring it and say, here, this is it. You understand? Because she tells you that, why am I keeping it? If you guys need it, why am I keeping it? Now, if I do not place a demand on it, do you know that those resources will always be there? Huh? And if it's like me, when she decides that she wants to go to her father in heaven, she will distribute it so that none of us will fight. Because we did not place a demand on it. So that means that we are fine. Amen. So in the place of persistence, you have to always know and understand the things that have been freely given to you, hallelujah, that you can place a demand on. Amen. So let's go back to Luke 18. So hold this one in your left hand, that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Don't faint. Amen. So when you think that things are not happening, don't faint. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says, then he spake a parable to them that men ought all to pray and not lose heart, saying there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming, she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? And then I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Amen. So this verse 8, put it on the second side of verse 1. Hallelujah. So we go to the body of the matter. The woman says that she needs to get justice from this judge for her adversaries. Hallelujah. Now, if she was not on the right side of the law, this Bible says this judge had no regard for God or for man. So if you look at the merits of her case, and she says that this woman is just disturbing me. In fact, he would have taken the woman and put her and boarded her in jail and said, why do you waste my time? But the Bible says here, I think it's verse 3, that she said, get me justice Yes, he said, get justice for me from my adversary. Hallelujah. You have to know what to place a demand for. If you place a demand for the right things, you will get answers based on your persistence. Now, she kept going, and the judge is saying that this woman, if she keep coming, she will just weary me. She will just wear me out. I will just lose concentration. I will just run mad because she just keeps coming and keeps coming. And the only reason why he would say that is because he would have looked at the merit of her case and said that truly this woman deserves to be given justice. Same thing when we place a demand. Okay? And the only place where we place demand is in the place of prayer. And that's why I said keep verse 1 in your hand and then you keep verse 8 as well on the opposite side of verse 1. It says that men ought, he said this story so that you go back to the fact that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, why would they not faint or not to lose heart? Because the woman kept insisting and insisting. But she was insisting on the right thing. That's another thing you have to note. She was insisting on the right thing. Hallelujah. And if she was insisting on the right thing, then it was her right to be given justice. Otherwise, let me get justice. Now, oftentimes, people will insist on things that are not right. Hallelujah. They will make prayer points on things that even when you hear the prayer point, you know that this thing will not come, it will not pass the front lip of the person that is praying. Because you look at the merits, even from your own human point of angle of things, and be like, what kind of prayer is this? Amen. But it says, men ought to pray and not to faint. And then you know what verse 8 says, which is very critical. Then you can attach it to verse 1. It says, verse 8. It says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, we need to find faith on earth. Hallelujah. So what does it tell us about this parable? It's saying that, look, the woman, that widow, had enough faith, okay, that she was on the right course, placing the right demands and asking for the right things when we come to justice. Hallelujah. And Christ is saying that, look, if the judge that did not have regard for man and for God will decide to listen, how much more God? He says, I tell you, God will speedily avenge. Okay? But then he now makes a statement. Nevertheless, so with all I have said, okay, he's saying, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Meaning that this widow was simply acting on faith. And then that kind of faith that was persistent until the result comes, that kind of faith that did not win until the result comes, he says, will I find it when I come? So it wasn't about the willing of the woman. The willing of the woman or her persistence was faith-based. Hallelujah. Faith-based on the things that she knows belongs to her. And that's why I was glad when we were reading chapter 3 of Galatians this morning. Amen. It talks to us about the promise that was made to Abraham and to the seed. And then it says that as long as you belong to Christ, and then the promise of Abraham is yours by virtue of your belonging to Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. But you need to find out and then know these things for yourself and know it for good, that faith has to remain constant in your walk with God. In James chapter 1. James chapter 1. It says, James, a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Hallelujah. Amen. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Hallelujah. Now, if you will be persistent, then your persistence must be based on faith in God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's when you are going to be patiently wait that God is going to show up. And that's when you won't be in a situation where you lose heart. Because Luke 18 says that men ought, he said these things based on the fact that he said men ought to always pray and not lose heart. Because once you believe in him, have faith in him, then the testing of your faith, what? It produces patience. Hallelujah. And what is patience? You are there in a long term, knowing fully well that if you stay even longer than you have waited, you will get that which has been promised to you. Amen. The question people will be asking, must I wait? Yeah, you have to wait. Because God is not a magician. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to. You have to learn that faith, the faith walk, is a walk of patience. Hallelujah. You keep insisting and believing and typically demand on the promises that you have inherited. Amen. Because the promise was to Abraham and to the seed. Like we read in Galatians this morning, Galatians 3. He said he made the promise to Abraham and to the seed, not the seeds. That's what the Bible tells us. And that's how it's written in the Bible. Not the seeds, was to the seed. And then he says, for you, once you identify with the seed, and then you have access to the promise. Now, what is the promise? He says the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Through faith. Hallelujah. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Amen. So, and then you see that in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, Christ is saying that, when I come, will I find faith? Will I really find faith anymore? Hallelujah. Because you need faith to obtain the promise. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, sorry, this was not in my notes. It just came to me now. 1 Corinthians 2, and from verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2, 9, says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Next verse. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Galatians 3:13 was talking about the fact that we get the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now here he's saying that the faith, the Spirit, that the things God has revealed to us, he revealed by his Spirit. Hallelujah. And for the Spirit searches out all things, yes, the deep things of God. Next verse. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Hallelujah. So if you are going to be in the place of faith, amen. Galatians 3:13 talks about the fact that we obtain the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then if you are staying in the place of faith, the Bible tells us here that the Spirit makes us to understand the things that have been freely given to us. That's when you know that you have, that you can place a demand on. Amen. Once you know that this thing belongs to me, this is my right, then you can place a demand for it. But then these things cannot happen except through faith that will bring you all this bouquet of promises that are before you. Hallelujah. So the parable in Luke 18, okay, simply saying that, look, you have to understand. You have to have faith. Then understand the things that the promises that have been, the things that have been freely given to us by the Spirit of God, you have to understand those things, and then you are able to lay claim and get justice. Hallelujah. It won't be all the time that you have an enemy. It will be that you want justice, you need something, you want something done, and you will get it done because you know that all things have been given freely to you by God. And then if you stay in the place of faith, hallelujah, and James chapter 1 verse 3 says that the testing of our faith does what? It works patience. So if you know that that works patience, then you will go back to Luke 18 verse 1 and you understand that in Luke 18 verse 1, it says, man ought all to pray and not to lose heart. Amen. So your faith generates patience, and then you patiently wait, and then you continue in praying, not losing heart, because these things have been freely given to you, and surely you will get them. And that takes us to Habakkuk 2, that talks about the fact that though it tarry, wait for it, hallelujah, that waiting is patience, and your waiting is not in vain. It's your wait, you are waiting because your waiting is faith-based on the promises as revealed to you by His Spirit. Amen. And Galatians 3 says, the promise is of the Spirit. Amen. So He says, once He gives you the Spirit, what does the Spirit come to do? Well, we are looking in 1 Corinthians 2. The Spirit comes and tells you freely. These are the things that God has given to you. Freely. Amen. So the things we know, or the things we find out about what God has given to us, then we can freely claim them. I mean, in the place of health, God's desire is for us to live in divine health. Hallelujah. And that's what He has placed before us. He says in Isaiah that he's seen into the future, and He says, by His stripes you are healed. Hallelujah. And Peter was talking and says, by His stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. So what were the two of them looking at? The two of them were looking at the cross. Hallelujah. One was seeing the cross in the future and saying, by His stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. And one was in that future, apologies. So there's a future. For Isaiah, the future was the cross. Abi. Therefore, so from Isaiah's point of view, the future was the cross, and then Peter was the future's future. Are you getting me? So today was yesterday's today. Abi. So yesterday will be tomorrow's day before yesterday. Abi, today's time. So Isaiah is looking at this future, and then Peter is behind this future, another future. So this future is, Peter is future for this future that Isaiah is looking at. So Isaiah is looking at the cross, is the future. Then Peter is after the cross, okay? So the cross, looking at Peter, is future. So whatever was done on the cross was for everything then and everything that will come after the cross, and that's Peter. So for Isaiah, Peter is future to the cross. Amen. And it says, Isaiah says, looking at the future, he says, by stripes we are healed. And then Peter looks back at his own past, which is the cross, and he says, by His stripes we are healed. That's his desire. So if you understand that this is what was done on the cross, if there's a challenge, in quote, if there's a challenge, then he has said that, if I come, will I find faith? Why was he saying that? Will people still remain persistent, placing on the demand on the things that has been done for them on the cross? Amen. Will people still understand that, look, holding on to faith, I can lay claim on the things that have been done by His death, virtue of His death and His resurrection? The Bible, Paul says that I may know Him and the power. So he's saying, will I still meet it? Will people still be this persistent, or knowing fully well that if they stay unmoved, the only thing that will move you will be the word of God. Amen. But if they stay there unmoved until they get it, will people still be like that till I come? So if things are not happening, what you need is that faith nudge that will push you and make you stay where you ought to stay. And then you remember what James said in chapter 3, verse 3 of James 1, that the testing of our faith works patience. Absolutely important. If you go to the book of Mark, the woman with the issue of blood will soon be done. I'm supposed to have ended 5 minutes ago. If you go to the woman with the issue of blood, she understood. Look, she did everything that she could do. Okay? She visited different doctors. She visited everybody. But she said, all these things, She just kept spending money and was not yielding. And yet she finds the one that holds. What did John chapter 1 say? That everything that was made in him. And there was nothing that was made that was without him. And then she says to herself, if only I touch the hem of his garment. And what did Christ say? I have not seen such faith, great faith in the whole of Israel. Meaning that what was propelling her was the faith he has that he holds the key to this problem. And if I do get his attention, if I do get lay hold of his, I will be made whole. So when you're going to be persistent in anything, let it be faith-based. And that's why we always say that if you're in any situation, you need to get a scripture. Hallelujah. Get a scripture that you hold on to, and then it moves you and propels you. But you stay in that place and you do not faint. Because that's where Christ said started from. He said, men ought to always pray and not faint. And then he ended with the fact that, will I meet faith? Because everything, if you will not faint, it will be because you have faith in the things that he has said, in the things that he has done, and the things that you truly have. Amen. Hallelujah. All things are ours. I've said it before, that oftentimes, this is the end point. This is where, when Christ died and rose, he finished, it's the finished works of Christ. This is where he put us. And then, we are here. And we're saying, we don't have it. But then, he had done the work, he had finished it. All he needs us is to move to the point where he has finished and lay claim. There's a demand on these things. And we can't get from there to here except by faith. And faith is not that I said it now, I'm not seeing it, and I walk away. I say it there, I'm not seeing it, and I walk away. He says, you ought not to faint. And Lord will help us. Let's rise to our feet. It says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. For the Spirit searches out all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He says, when you receive that Spirit, it does not automatically translate that you know. He says, help me. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. When you receive that spirit, you still have that one singular responsibility of finding out, because you have what it takes. It's just like when you have a car. And then you want to go from here to Ibadan, and you decide that you're not going to use the car. You're going to walk. What's the essence of the car? So it says, so that you might know what has been freely given to us by God. The presence of the Spirit is for you to place a demand and know the things that are in your hands. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just talk to him this morning, that indeed will lead to know, hallelujah, the things that have been freely given to us, so that we stay in the place of faith. We lift up our hands, we pray, we do everything. We do not lose heart, because we have faith that yes, is God, and in him everything is yes and amen. But then we need to understand and place a demand on the things that we know, hallelujah, that have been freely given to us. In the place of health, it has been freely given to us. We know that, and we stay there. Oh, manga baskataria, we stay there knowing fully well that it's desire. Is for us, is to bring us to a good end. Oh, Makanta, Skatanda, Bosoto, Disetaria, Eklatopra, Kapanga, Lazaria. It says, it's thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring us to an expected end. Hallelujah. And thank him, because we begin to walk in that understanding and we begin to practice faith. Oh, Makan, Laboseria. And we are patient enough to see these things come to fruition. Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray.